I'd like for you to open your Bibles again now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Charles Spurgeon was preaching to his congregation on this subject from this text many, many years ago. He called his message "The Old, Old Story." And he began the message with these words. I read his words, exact words. "There's a well-known preacher in our congregation tonight who came here to hear me preach several years ago. He's been back to his place of service in America. And now, once again, he's here in the congregation tonight to hear me preach. I could not help thinking, as I saw his face a few moments ago, that as I preach tonight, he will certainly think, 'Mr. Spurgeon is preaching the same old subject he preached last time I was here. Mr. Spurgeon is harping on the same old strain.' He will surely think that I have not advanced a single inch upon any new domain of thought, but that I am preaching the same old gospel in the same old terms. Now, my friends, if that's what my brother thinks, he'll be exactly right. For years and years and years ago, I received from my master orders to stand at the cross of redemption until he returns. Well, he has not returned. But I mean to stand where he told me to stand until he does return. If I should disobey his orders and leave these plain old truths, the simplicity of Christ, which have been the means of saving sinners for centuries, I couldn't expect my master's blessings. So here then I stand, telling out the good news of God's grace to the chief of sinners through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though it may sound stale and worn and a bit threadbare to those whose ears itch for some new thing, it's of Christ and Him crucified that I love to preach. I dearly love to preach Christ, who loved me, lived and died for us sinners. I dearly love to preach Christ, who is my wisdom, my righteousness, my holiness, my redemption, my sin offering, my great high priest, who suffered the just for the unjust to bring me to God. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. And when in scenes of glory, I sing that new song, it will then be the same old story that I have loved so long." So one more time, like this great man of the past, one more time, I believe we need to ring the dinner bell. You know how folks out in the country, when the ladies of the house had prepared the meal, it was all ready, they'd go out and it'd be a dinner bell hanging in the yard, because the men were out in the fields, way out there, in the barns and in the fields, and they'd ring the bell. And everybody that was hungry, they heard it, and they skedaddled as quickly as possible out there to where the dipper was by the well and wash the hands and get in there and dine. And perhaps here in this congregation there's a hungry sinner who's tired of feeding on the husk of the swine. That's really hungry. And he'll hear that bell and hear that invitation, come and dine. And he'll come to Christ and find in him the living bread. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But if you don't hear, you won't come. And if you don't come, you won't eat. One more time, let's preach. One more time, ruined by the fall. I mean real ruin. Like I read about earlier. Real redemption by the blood. And real regeneration by the Holy Spirit. There may be out there one of his sheep to whom he's given hearing ears, and thus far they haven't been able to hear. But they could hear this morning. There's a time for all of the sheep to hear the voice of the Lord and follow him. There's a time. There's a time. And they'll hear it through a man. If they don't, they won't come. They won't come. But maybe somebody will hear it this morning. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Lord, I'm coming home. We sing that old song, I wandered far away from God, and I'm coming home. Like the prodigal son, I'm coming home. There's servants in my Father's house getting along better than I am. And I'm his own. His own. I'm coming home. But I'm going to say to my Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be a son, but I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to be a son in the house of the wicked. So just make me one of the doorkeepers. But you won't be a doorkeeper. No, you won't. If you come. And one more time, let's point like John the Baptist of old. One more time, let's point to him who is the Lamb of God and say to those who hear our voices, behold, look, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And there could be a blind Bartimaeus this morning who will say, what did you say? I said the Lord's passing by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Bartimaeus heard Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he cried. And the scripture says the Lord stood still and said, you come to me, and I'll make you see. But now if you hadn't got a problem, if you hadn't got a need, if you hadn't got a disease called sin, you won't be interested in who's passing by. It won't matter to you who's passing by. But I'll tell you, if he's passing by who only can give you life, you'll cry. If he's passing by who only can make you just before God, you'll cry. If he's passing by who only can open these blind eyes and make you see the very glory of God, you'll cry. You'll quit playing church and you'll cry. And people will try to discourage you. Don't get emotional. Don't get excited. Don't get upset. I am upset. I'm lost. I am emotional. I'm going to hell. I need help. And he's the only one who can help me. And he may not pass this way again. Did that ever occur to you? We take for granted that the gospel's preached here this morning will be preached again next Sunday. Who said so? Who said so? But if I don't hear today, I'll hear next Sunday. Will you really? Will you really? Old Richard Baxter said, I preach as one who may never preach again. I listened to that message I preached this morning. I said, well, I let that be my swan song. That'd be all right by me. I told them the truth. But Richard Baxter said, I preach as one who may never preach again. But do you know you hear as one who may never hear again? You may never hear the gospel again. Never, never, never. This may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. God may make an example out of you. He may make an example out of you. He may let you hear it with these natural ears and never hear it with your heart and perish this week. And everybody remember what I said. And maybe somebody else will hear it. That's right. He does those things. He does as he will, when he will, with whom he will. I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men. And that's what we're doing. I have a short text here. We're going to look at it. It says in verse 18, all things are of God. All things are of God. Now, what he's referring to here, I know we say all things are of God in creation and providence and salvation. That's true. But here he's talking about salvation. Because verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. You see that? That's what he's talking about. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. He had created us in Christ. He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ and the life of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And old things have passed away. What's that mean? It was our old ways. We don't walk in the same ways now as we did before we had life. Those old ways are gone. That old walk's gone. We walk not in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. The old ways, the old walk, passed away. The old companions. You don't run around with the same cronies you ran around with before you knew God, do you? Well, you don't have anything in common with them. You got new. And that old stony heart, he took that out. The stony heart is hard. You can't chip it. You can't mold it. Shape it. It's cold. Oh, you can heat it for a while, but it won't stay hot. It'll get hot and back like it's a stony heart. It's cold because it's got no life within. The new heart's warm from within. It doesn't depend on somebody to put the furnace to it. It comes from within. That old heart's gone, that old proud flesh. He circumcised it. It's gone. That lying tongue, believers don't lie. That filthy communication that used to come out of your mouth, that's gone. Old things have passed away. That old self-righteousness, bragging on how good you've been and righteous you've been and holy you are and how much better you are than anybody else, that's gone. You don't even talk that way anymore. Those old law works that you were presenting as your way to glory, well, that's gone. We talk about him who loved us and gave himself for us. That's that old religious profession. I expect about half the people in here made four or five before God saved you, didn't you? You dedicated and rededicated and reconsecrated and did all these different things trying to find some peace, but you couldn't find it because he's the peace of God. So that old profession, you're now denying it. You're not defending it. You're not taking folks back and saying, that's when I saved back yonder. No, that wasn't when I saved. I saved when he saved me, when I met him. You've forgotten it. You don't talk about that old profession power, didn't he? He said, what things were gained to me in religion, I count but loss. They're gone. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. They're gone. I count these things but loss for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I count them but garbage. All my old traditions, garbage. Now, I'm not going back trying to prove I'm saved by something that happened back yonder. If you want proof of redemption, I take you to Calvary and I say, there's my redemption on the cross. On the cross. And he says, and all things become new. All things become new. Now, what are these all things? Well, they're covenant mercies. This is redeeming grace. This is the fruit of God's Spirit. This is that fruit that the branches bear when they got the life of the vine. They become new. They don't bring forth briars and thorns. They bring forth grace, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, moderation, temperance. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the new things. And he's the one that they're God. Turn to Ezekiel 36. If a man, when God saves a man, when he converts a person, like Peter, he said, when you're converted, you strengthen your brethren. You'll be a rock then. You'll be a strong tower. You'll be a stone. I'll change your name from Simon to Cephas, a stone. And you'll be a pillar. All these things of God. Look at Ezekiel 36, verse 24. And notice the I wills. You know, all these, we drive down the street and see these Free Will Baptist Church. Free Will. Now, we'll forget the first time Bill Clark came to the States to visit me. And we drove somewhere and he saw Free Will Baptist Church. He said, they're advertising apostasy? I said, yeah, that's what they're advertising. It's not my will. It's his will. Look at this. Verse 24. I will take you from among the heathen. That's why he found you. Brother Walker said the other night, your mama was an Amorite and your daddy was a Hittite. You're a heathen. And I took you from among the heathen. I gathered you out of the country. I'll bring you to your land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. All these things are of God. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh. Nobody can operate on a sinner but God. Nobody can do this work of circumcision of the heart to rip out that old stony heart. I'll give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, pliable, warm, living. The heart of flesh, the stony heart, dead, hard, cold, cruel, selfish. You can't straighten it out. Well, you can dress it up in robes of religion. It's still hard and stony and cold. It's got to be ripped out. And some of you that have been under the surgery of a heart surgeon, you know what that means. It's an operation. It's traumatic. I'll rip it out. And I'll put in you a pulsating, living heart of flesh. If you were so God's son, you'd love me, Christ said. You'd have a heart of love. That's right. I'll give you a heart. And I'll put my spirit within you. Spirit of God. Brother Mahan, this doesn't sound like a easy believism profession, does it? No, it doesn't, does it? This doesn't sound like this is your hour of decision, does it? Doesn't sound that way to me. It doesn't sound like it's all up. God's done all he can do, now it's up to you. That doesn't sound like that to me. Sounds like he's doing a pretty good job over here, isn't he? It sounds like to me he's doing it all. God's done all he can do. He is doing it all. I put my spirit in. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Isn't that what it says? I'll make you walk in my steps. You'll keep my judgments, and furthermore, you'll do them. You will. People say, Christian ought to pray. He will. Christian ought to give. He will. Christian ought to behave himself. He will. God said, I'll make you do that. And you're going to dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. And that, my friends, is salvation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, created by God, who said, I will do this. I will. I will. I will. I will. And you shall. I will and you shall. It's direction changing, life changing, thought changing, heart changing. Everything's changed. Everything. Old things pass away. And all things become new. And all things of God. Can you think, recall some scripture which declares all things in salvation are of God? Well, listen to these. The one I read a while ago. You hath he quickened who were dead. That's an operation. You hath he quickened who were dead. I will send my spirit and he will convince the world of sin. I'll send him and he will convince you of sin. Romans 2:4. Do you not know that it's the goodness of God that led you to repentance? That's Paul asked. Do you not know that, Paul said? That you didn't come to yourself of yourself and decide to repent. It's the goodness of God that led you to repentance. He got hold of you and led you Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ said, no man can come to me. He doesn't have the desire or the ability or the will to come to me. Everything that I am and preach and teach, he's against. He's not going to come to me. That's my Father draws him. He'll find you and he'll draw you. And you'll come. You'll be taught of God. And you'll learn. Christ said, you'll come to me. Peter said, we're kept by the power of God. Perseverance is a gift of God. To continue in the faith is because he keeps you. Not apart from faith, but by his power in faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith in faith. And then Paul said this, he that hath begun a good work in you. Now, I put out a little warning. I have been preaching a while, and I put out a little warning. Evidence that it is of God is that it gets the job done pretty soon. It doesn't take God 5 years to bring a man to Christ. 4 or 3 years when he hears. That's right. You go through the Bible. The Ethiopian eunuch heard the gospel and believed it. Cornelius heard the gospel and believed it. Lydia heard the gospel and believed it. Paul didn't come through 6 years later and they were still wondering whether they were going to believe on Jesus or not. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if it's of God, something happens. Something happens. Everything that I read throughout the New Testament, I've experienced throughout my ministry, is when people really hear the gospel, they act on it. They act on it. It affects them. Nobody's in neutral. Nobody goes down the same, throwing that gear shift in neutral and just float down. He's either backing up or going forward in gear. if he's heard anything. Lord, lead me to seek thee, and seeking thee to find thee, and finding thee to love thee, and loving thee to abide in thee, and thou in me. And verse 18 says, all things are of God, because he hath reconciled us to himself. He's reconciled us to himself. Now don't just hurriedly read that reconcile. That's a big word. That's a powerful word. That's a word full of riches. Don't regard it too lightly. A person cannot enter into the joy and the blessings of this glorious word, reconciliation. He hath reconciled us. He hath reconciled us. You can't enter into that unless you have understanding of two things. And the first one is God's awesome, awful, immaculate, immutable holiness. That's what Isaiah saw when he saw the Lord. High and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy. And the second thing, you can't enter into the joys and blessings of the word reconciliation until you see something of the holiness of God and the wretchedness of your own heart and the guilt of your sin and the wrath of God against it. When you see those two things, how your sins have separated you and your God. I'm away from God. God's angry with me. God hates the workers of iniquity. God is angry with the wicked. He that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Now you talk to that man about reconciliation, and he says, you got my ear. I'd like to learn how in the world that can take place. What is it to be reconciled to God? He hath reconciled. Well, we use the term, you know, you have a little spat with your wife and you all become reconciled. Or child becomes upset with a father or mother and they become reconciled. But that's generally what it means. Two at odds are brought together. Well, God hath reconciled us to himself. It means this. It means the forgiveness of all my sins. For all my sins, all up past, present, and future, sins that I haven't even committed yet. Don't go too far, preacher. I can't go too far on this. We reconcile. Forgiven. He hath cleansed us from all sin. It means to be restored to sonship. I'm a son of God. The Son has been received and embraced and kissed. And the ring on his finger and the robe on his back and the shoes on his feet and the fatted calf is slain. And the dinner is served. The Son, this my Son, is home to stay. Think about that. Reconcile. God kissed you. He did in Christ. He did in Christ. Would God kiss a worm like me? Yes, sir. Because that's God. To be reconciled is to be forever received into his embrace in peace. That's big doings. It's the Lord's doings. Because it says, he hath reconciled us. You have nothing to do with it. Not one thing in the world. He did it. He's the reconciler. He's the one who's reconciled. He was angry. You think God's not angry? Ask the outfit in Sodom about it. Ask the folks of Noah's day. Ask the devil and his angels if God's angry. They'll tell you. But he's the reconciler and he's the reconciled. He's the one that's reconciled. He's reconciled before you are. God's anger against me was removed before my anger against him was removed. You were still a rebel and he was reconciled. See, Christ reconciled you to God. He's the reconciler, he's the reconciled, and he's the reconciliation. himself in his own body on the tree, paid the debt, bore the enmity, put away the sin. And that's something. But how did he do it? It says here in the scripture, by Jesus Christ, all things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Turn to Colossians. I want to read this to you. By Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 19. Listen to this. Colossians 1, 19. Be all these. This is all of God. I love grace, sovereign grace, particular grace, effectual grace, keeping grace. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell, and having made peace, that's reconciliation, through the blood of his cross, by Christ to reconcile all things to himself. By Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, whether people down here on the earth or whether the Old Testament saints that are dead and gone, he reconciled people who were already in heaven. Did you know that? When Christ died on the cross, there were people already in heaven by his reconciliation. Well, they couldn't have been there if it hadn't been for Christ. Moses was there. Enoch was there. Enoch walked up there. Didn't even die. They were there. David was there. Abraham was there. He reconciled folks who were already in heaven and folks on the earth when he died on the cross. That's right. And you come along in 1900 and whatever you were born, and you that were at one time alienated, enemies in your mind by your wicked works, hath he now, right now, he hath already done it, reconciled you. You're reconciled if you're his son. How am I going to know if I'm his son if he kills that rebellion in you? That's right. That's how you know if he strips you, if he breaks you. Some people won't be broken. They're born a wild ass's coat and they'll die a wild ass's coat. But God's going to ride his people in triumph. That's right. Yes, he will. And he did it in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and don't be moved away. That's the terms of peace. God, verse 19 says, to wit, I'm going to sum this up, Paul said. I'm going to name it. That is to say, I'm going to tell you what I just said. I'm going to tell you what I just said. That God was in Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Reconciling the world, that is people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue under heaven, unto himself. He's the reconciler, he's the reconciled, and he's the reconciliation. Not imputing their trespasses, not charging their sins unto them. And he's committed to us. He's committed to these preachers, he's called. He's committed to us this word of reconciliation. We've got this word. We've got it in earthen vessels. This treasure is in an earthen vessel, that the power might be of God, not of us, that the excellency might be of God, not of us. But this is where you hear it. Turn to Romans 10. I'll show you what he's talking about there. This word of reconciliation. This word of reconciliation. He says here in verse 8, what saith it? The word, Romans 10, 8, the word is nigh unto you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's the word of faith which we preach. This is the word of reconciliation. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference. The Jew and the Greek, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they going to call if they don't believe? And how are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach if he doesn't send them? Verse 20, now then. I looked at that, those two words, Daniel. What an important pause. Now then, we're coming down to where it is. Now then. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I either am or I ain't. A preacher's either a true preacher or a false preacher. There ain't no middle ground. There ain't no part-time preachers. They either are preachers or they aren't preachers. They tell the truth or they're not. Now, I'm telling you the truth because I just read it right here. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Sent by Him, ordained by Him, commissioned by Him, empowered by Him. And I bring you terms of peace. I'm an ambassador for Christ, as though God Almighty was preaching this morning Himself in this pulpit. That's how, I'm telling you, that's how it is. Christ said to the disciples, they hear you, they hear me. They don't hear you, they don't hear me. If you go to a place and they don't hear you, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. And nobody else will ever go. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What does that mean? Be me reconciled to God? That's right. We're born rebels. And a rebel has got to surrender. Well, I'll be saved, but. No, we're not a but there anywhere. You do what the Scripture says, what the God's servant says. You lay down your sword, you stack your arms, you surrender, you kiss the Son. You believe the word preached, and you sit at His feet with Thomas and say, my Lord and my God, what would you have me to do? I don't care what it is. You just tell me. That man's been conquered. He's reconciled. Now, I'm not preaching a gospel that says God's reconciled and He's going to save a bunch of rebels. He'll save men who have been rebels. Rebels are not saved. That's right now. No, they're not either. No, they're not. You be reconciled to God. You lay down your shotgun. You surrender. Because here's your foundation. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. Shame and guilt. He knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. Well, I'm happy. I'm happy with that. I rang the bell. And everybody's hungry, heard it. And I preached ruin, redemption, and regeneration. And I said, there's the Lamb of God. And everybody that heard it, they'll embrace Him. You want to come down front? No, I want you to come to Christ. Don't move a hand, don't move a hair, don't move a foot. Move your heart. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Between me and you, I'm going to lay down my shotgun. Christ is my Lord. And then it'll leak out on you. That's what Brother Barnard said. And somebody will find it out. Somebody will find out, hey, he's different. She's different. They find it out. They say, what's going on? Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. That's right. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left the crimson stain. He washed it. He washed it. White as snow. What's the number, Mike? Let's see. 125.
125. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's thoughts and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all the debt I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.